Hi, podcast listeners, and welcome to Sandbox Radio Live. This episode, Eclipsed, was recorded in front of a live audience at ACT Theater in Seattle on August 28, 2017. It features new works from writer and performance poet Damon Derrindell, one of our favorite regular guests, the drunken tenor, Robert McPherson, accompanied on the piano by Jeff Caldwell, and more with the Sandbox Radio Players, and music from the Sandbox Radio Orchestra led by composer and music director Jose Juicy Gonzalez. So sit back, relax, and experience totality with Sandbox Radio Eclipsed.
Sandbox Radio will stay all day. In the backyard we'll play. Jump into our sandbox. We build castles and kings. Words become things.
By Scott Augustin, Lisa Halpern, Elizabeth Heffron, and Brandon J. Simmons, with musical guests from Pratidwani, the drunken tenor, Robert McPherson, writer and performance poet, Damon Derrindell, and more. Plus, all your favorite Sandbox Radio players, and the Sandbox Radio Orchestra, led by maestro and composer Jose Juicy Gonzalez! We take you into the world of Sandbox Radio Live.
Sandbox Radio.
Gentle listener, prepare yourself for a most thrilling tale, a ripping yarn, a heart-stopping adventure. What follows is not for the faint of heart. This is the story of young Tula Shedcroft and her best friend and occasional lover, Tommy Swithins. I take you now to Shropshire, where Tula is just finishing her shift at the Shropshire Sweet Shop. Off to grab a cuppa with Tommy. Let's watch.
Tommy!
Tula, love.
I just received a most cryptic letter from our old university professor, Dr. Mandible.
Bugger me with a bandicoot. Me too.
Oh.
It says to meet him at the Tweesbury house at 8 o'clock sharp.
Let's go.
Next stop, Tweesbury.
Here we are.
Oh, just look at this rococo monstrosity of Gothic New Victorian architecture.
Ooh, the shivers it gives me.
Hello?
Dr. Mandible?
Who is that shadowy figure approaching from the shadowy shadows?
Ah, Tommy und Tula, my brightest shining pupils.
Professor.
Let's get right to the point. I am recruiting you to be part of an elite secret society, the Order of the Eclipse.
Order of the Eclipse?
Crikey! What exactly does it do?
The OOE defends humanity against grave threats.
Oh.
Do you remember last year's invasion of the spiders from outer space?
Who could forget that? Most nasty, those space spiders.
And you're saying the Earth was saved by your secret society, this Order of the Eclipse?
Precisely.
Are the extraterrestrial arachnids back for round two?
Worse. Humanity has been infiltrated by a most deadly parasite, slowly sucking the vitality of our species.
Vampires?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. No such thing. I am speaking of the scourge of billionaires.
Crikey!
Now, if you choose to join my shadowy ragtag band of defenders, you will be my special squad of billionaire hunters.
I like the sound of that. Will I get to use my crossbow to shoot a bolt straight into their greedy chests?
Could I crush their heartless skulls with my mullet?
No, sadly no. We'll be using sedative darts and nets. But the billionaires will be captured and relocated to an island with no telephone, postal service, or internet.
But Professor, what if they breed and reproduce? Couldn't they still be a hazard to humanity?
Oh, no. All of the billionaires will be surgically sterilized before transport. No little bastard billionaires running around.
Phew, what a relief.
Tommy? Tula?
Eh?
Can a human race count on you?
Oh, rather.
Roger Wilco and all the tea in England.
Splendid. We shall begin your training at once. Walk this way. No. This way. Into the moat. Under the moat.
Dive.
Leap for it. Here we are, the training room.
Well done. Sweet, Tommy.
Oh, my.
Tula, Tommy, this is Kiki March Hare. She'll be in charge of sharpening your skills.
Just look at you two. Those rich leeches don't stand a badger's chance on the highway. You'll have them choking on their own platinum Amex cards, flying a private Learjet ride to hell.
Cheerio!
All right, Tommy, you first. I'm pitting you against a mock hedge fund manager. Your goal is to undermine her confidence and swagger. Stay steady. But weave and dodge. Go.
Hello, Mom. I'm a reporter for the Business Journal of... I understand you sit on quite a mighty financial empire.
Oh, yes. We are tipping the scales toward a trillion.
You've got some derivatives, don't you?
Oh, yes. Dozens with more generated every hour.
That sounds complicated. Care to explain?
Yes, certainly. Let's say you agree to pay me $17.25 per unit pegged to three interlocking variables. One, the price of soybeans. Two, the interest rate on used Buicks. And three, the rise and fall of the badger population in Wales. We farm out our risk by selling tranches of the now separate divisions.
Super complicated. Would you mind diagramming it with this chalk and blackboard?
Of course. We either place our exposure off the books onto publicly traded pension funds or zero out the inflationary currency reverse indexes, depending, of course, on the macro exchange rate measures. So, this dotted line is private equity ghosting. Those circles represent a cancelling of charter insurance and... Oh.
Do you see what you've done?
I've done nothing. Silly scribbling. Go away now.
You've drawn an object that can't exist in real space-time.
Oh. My God, if money isn't real, I'm not anything. There is no reason for my existence. I'm but a shadow on the moon, a cry in the wind. It's all collapsing in on itself. The pyramid cannot sustain.
Good job, Tommy. Tula,
eh?
Your turn. Nothing is off limits. Unhappy childhood, a fear that friends only love them for their money, a growing existential malaise.
Hello, am I mistaken, or didn't you and I go to school together?
Oh, yes, I think so. I can spot a quality upper cruster a mile away.
Those were good days, weren't they?
Oh, the best. The whiffle poofery, the tasty puddings, midnight punting on the Thames.
And all that secret sex with your fraternity brothers.
What? No. That didn't happen. You don't understand. Well, maybe we drank a little and didn't remember. But no. It wasn't like that.
But it was. Winston Bennett Swellsbury the Third.
Winston? Oh, my dear Winnie. My one love. Oh, I'd give everything I own, my mansion, my yacht, my three shitty children, for one, all for one more night with Winnie.
Well done. I'd say you two are ready for the field.
And before you can say Bob's your uncle, Tula and Tommy were on a mission to flush out a nest of pernicious billionaires who were holing up in a ridiculously expensive and obscenely decorated restaurant.
Oh, Tommy! I was just in the ladies' loo. There's a solid gold toilet. Just think about that. You've got a shiny gold surface, quite pretty, really. And then why would you want to go and smear that?
Shh, with... Tula! We have our target in sight.
Salty.
What is he eating?
It's an artisanal Moroccan-style tagine, made entirely from food snatched from the mouths of hungry children.
Ready with the net?
Ready as I will ever be, you sexy billionaire huntress.
Fire!
What the fiduciary?
Save your breath, plutocrats.
Uncrust me at once, or I'll have you fired. I'll strip you of your health insurance. I'll have you sent to one of my lucrative private prisons.
Hey, pipe down, or I will be forced to put the muzzle on you.
No fair. I worked hard to get where I am.
Sure you did, sir.
I earned it all myself.
On the backs of labor.
I'm a job creator.
Oh, hilarious. I want to just put him in a little bird cage like a budgie and have him say funny little things whenever guests pop over.
A rising tide lifts all boats.
Like that.
But doesn't that same tide drown the poor folks who don't have boats?
Legal team, I summon thee.
Slander.
Oh, we're surrounded by a phalanx of lawyers.
Quickly, before they can sue, cut off their funding.
Right you are. Firing up your Twitter. Starting rumors that billionaire Bill here is facing bankruptcy.
What?
Oh, and for good measure, whispers of a tapped-out trust fund. And tweet.
No, wait! Wait, come back!
Enough of the shilly-shally. Let's bag him.
Right.
Betty, help me.
Oh, Tommy, look out behind you.
I am invincible. Yes. I attended the Yarvard School of Business. I have my own clothing line and a chain of boutique hotels. I have a bottomless pit of money in Switzerland. Like an octopus, my tentacles stretch into every nook and cranny of the financial world. I am too big to fail.
Tell that to Louis the 16th, sister.
Betty! No!
You don't understand. I am invincible.
Sorry, love. Didn't quite catch that. Invinci what?
Well done, Tommy and Tula.
Oh.
You certainly made short work of that festering wealth nest. You have earned a rest.
We'll pass on the holiday, Professor.
Yes, we're eager for our next assignment.
All right. Better pack your swimsuits.
Ooh.
You two are off to the Cayman Islands.
Oh.
Tune in next week for Tula and Tommy's next adventure, How to Bury a Billionaire.
Crikey! Tula, have you ever seen so many jewels or so much cocaine in one place?
Tommy! Look out! Real estate mogul coming up fast on the starboard side!
Tula, be a dear and hand me my crossbow.
Oh, Tommy, you wicked thing!
A sonnet from one of our favorite collaborators, Edgar Allan Poe.
Science, true daughter of old time thou art, who alterest all things with thy peering eyes, why preyest thou thus upon the poet's heart? Vulture, whose wings are dull realities, how may he love thee, and how deem thee wise, who would not leave him in his wandering to seek for treasure in the jeweled skies, albeit he soared with an undaunted wing? Hast thou not dragged Diana from her car, and driven the hamadryad from the wood to seek a shelter in some happier star? Hast thou not torn the mermaid from her flood, the elfin from the green grass, and from me, the summer dream beneath the tamarind tree?
Open. You could have just...
I know, but climbing through your bedroom window is way more rock and roll, don't you think?
You got a point there.
Misfit Moon by Lisa Halpern.
So?
What?
1981 is flying by. What have you got to show for it?
Not a lot. Just a box of ding-dongs. And these new plaid pants, do they work?
Fear not, New Waver. There's still time for you to change the world.
Or at least my pants.
Oh, keep your pants on. They're bitching. Any news on the Tom front?
No, I'm over him. Well, not really, but I'm gonna be soon, very soon.
This is good news, no?
It will be when I'm over him. I'm ready to make a different kind of fool of myself.
Which kind?
I haven't decided yet. All I know is I gotta find a boyfriend. Help me move the drums.
You got it.
Careful, 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 careful!
Ow. Sweet! You've been practicing.
So, what's the deal with you and Dan?
No clue. Why would he compromise his new wave values by being with that wretched Diane Rockwell?
I don't know. Compromise is the secret religion of democracy.
Right. I want to be with someone who has had enough of everyone else. I wish I could stop thinking about him.
Wouldn't it be cool if there was such a thing as a mental weight loss clinic? Those of us who think too much could take a load off.
Oh, yes!
Sitting on my head.
The front door is open, fools.
The window is a way more macho entrance.
So true.
Hey, Mark. Kurt. You ready to rock?
I was born to rock.
I am a rock. I am an island.
Yes, you are, my friend. All right, all right. Before band practice officially begins, let us share a reverent moment in memoriam. Gather in a circle, people.
Okay.
Yeah, circle up.
I'll light the candle. We invoke the spirits of all the great and creative souls no longer with us in honor of our dear John. 1 year ago today, John Lennon left the planet. Our candle symbolizes the light he brought with his music and his activism for peace.
John, you rock.
You had the gift of the gob, all right. Your goofy gloriosity and divinely inspired musicosity changed us. Be they ever so humble, there's no tunes like John's.
We miss your bloody insightfuls and your splendidly spazzy ways.
All right. Without any further ado...
Ladies and gentlemen, a loud, rude welcome for the original, ironical, non-sequitur sisters! Featuring your four fan faves, Cold!
Woo!
Tired!
Woo!
Hungry!
Ah!
And burnt out! Singing their number one hit, The Norm!
Brilliant! Great to be here, really super!
Let's have a dollar's worth of fun, kid. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four! We're talking about the norm. This is the norm. Na 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 na. Our fashionable storm. Na 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 na.
She's working on fitting in. An adventure in living, but nobody gets it.
Why does it have to be gutted?
Whoa. What the? Power's out.
Weird.
Creepy.
The lights are out on this whole side of the street. Full moon, too.
Maybe a tree fell on something.
Maybe the wind damaged something somewhere.
Ooh, should we have a seance?
No, that's creepy.
Got a Ouija board?
Creepy times a thousand. We are powerless. Literally.
Hold on. Aha! I knew our wind-up flashlight was around here somewhere. Voila! Let there be light. Better?
Freaking A.
That's a start. I'm still creeped out. Someone distract me.
Okay, I think I'm gonna get my hair cut tomorrow.
You don't need to cut it. You need to spike it.
My hair won't do that.
Well, it will. You just have to convince it.
My hair and I aren't on speaking terms. I can't convince it of anything if it won't listen to me.
It'll listen to this.
Aquanet? My mom uses that stuff. No way.
Wait a minute. Let me just...
Stop! Ow! It's in my eye! Ow!
There.
Hey! I look like Johnny Rotten!
You look more like his kitten.
Yeah, kitten. Kittens are cute.
I'm in a crappy mood.
Me too.
I bet it's the full moon. That always messes with my mind.
What does the moon have to do with it?
The full moon affects everything. The way we feel, the way we communicate, the pants we choose. People can experience dramatic changes in mood and behavior.
Are you making this up?
Not even. When the moon is full, everyone gets all stressed out, oversensitive, totally frustrated, and you're way more likely to get in a fight with someone.
Seriously?
Yes.
My sister works in a clothing store, and she says every time it's a full moon, all the crazies come out of the woodwork. Like bonkers.
Well, I feel bonkers now. Everything bugs me.
Me too. Okay, I have an idea.
Does it have anything to do with toilet papering Dan's house?
Yeah. No, Dingleberry. Let's play bedbugs.
Never heard of it.
That's because I just made it up. We take turns bouncing on the bed and saying everything that bugs us.
I feel I will excel at this game.
Ladies first. Kurt.
Oh, nice.
Why are girls so confusing?
All right. Why doesn't my mom make anything besides tuna casserole?
Why do school days last forever, but Saturday and Sunday are like the shortest days ever?
Long but true. Yeah.
Why is it so hard to just be me?
These are the eternal questions.
Yeah, I ask myself that like all the time.
Oh my God!
What's wrong?
Nothing. This Elvis Costello record. You got his signature on it?
Oh, you're my new hero.
You are my true friend, so it's only fair that I tell you my dark and darty secret.
Ooh, the dartier the better.
I forged it. See? In my mind, Elvis and I have a mass excellent friendship. I like to imagine he came over to my house and signed it. Then we ate Twizzlers and listened to Iggy Pop. Did I totally just lose your respect?
On the contrary, extra credit for creativity. And how did you score the record? I read it wasn't going to be released until summer.
Bootleg.
Oh, man.
Ding dong.
Thanks. Oh, your mom is so cool.
She totally is. But how do you know?
Well, she lets you keep the ding-dong box in your room.
No, she doesn't.
Nice.
Whoa.
Where did the moonlight go?
This night is getting creepier by the second.
Is the world coming to an end?
No, it's the lunar eclipse, Dorko.
Holy shit, I'm gonna go check it out.
Wait for me, dude.
Be careful out there. If the world goes bonkers during a full moon, who knows what craziness is going on out there during this eclipse? I think we need communication devices.
Dixie cup phone?
You're psychic. Hold the strings. I'll poke holes in the cups like so. Then you thread a string through the hole and tie a knot. There you go. Now you can alert us in case something terrible happens.
Oh, nothing bad is gonna happen.
Or you suddenly realize you love me.
Ever since the moon went wacky, that's feeling like a distinct possibility.
Layla!
Okay, we're outie.
Buh, as in bye, boys.
Ow, slipping on my head.
The moon's a mysterious gal, ain't she?
For reals? Okay, let's try this out. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Breaker. Breaker. Come in.
10-4. This totally works. We're in your backyard. Whoa. The moon is totally gone. Can't see a damn thing, but everything seems fine out here.
Awesome to the max. Where are you now?
Halfway down the block.
This is Mark phoning it in from this gnarly string thing. The dogs aren't barking, and the air feels weird out here. I'm totally freaked. Can we postpone band practice till tomorrow when things normalify?
No prob. Go easy and get home safe, Bubs. Put Kurt back on.
You called, m'lady?
Good thing it's dark and you're not here, Squire. I'm blushing for sure. Anyway, bring your harmonica to school tomorrow. We can make up songs in Mr. Bacigalupi's lit class. Kurt? Kurt? out of range. Slumber party?
Yes, please.
Bea?
Yeah?
Do you ever think about how weird it is?
What?
Being a person.
Oh. Yeah. Sometimes I feel so tiny. Like I'm an island in the middle of nowhere.
Or in the middle of everywhere.
Yeah. It freaks me out. I mean, what's the future going to be like?
I have no idea.
And what's the point?
Of what?
Everything. Anything. And if there isn't one, then what?
I know.
Power's back on. Weird. Freaking misfit moon.
Let's leave the lights on for a while, okay?
Good idea. What an awesome night.
No doubt. And was it my imagination or...
Nope! You totally have a boyfriend!
Wow! Who knew that your best boyfriend could be your actual boyfriend?
That is so new wave!
B, will you be my best friend till we're way too old to wear tight pants?
I thought you'd never ask. But please, honey, I'll always wear tight pants, no matter how old I am. Night, Lumpy.
Night, Beeswax.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Damon Arundel.
Eclipse. The event upon which the moon will grant a shadow to lose or find ourselves in. A grand state of black. Last week, a whole country of people were aware of the black, welcomed the black, traveled far and wide to see the black, overwhelmed and overjoyed by the black, wanted to be in the black, surrounded by the black. I guess it's easy to want to be black when everything is the new black. Shiny is an LP spinning at 33 RPM in the hipster-owned record store on the formerly black block in the formerly black neighborhood, but do you know what comes back around for black? That needle scratch leaves grooves deep as the river. Don't nobody want the old black? People want the Jimi Hendrix kind of black, the psychedelic star-spangled banner by your own rules black, the sparkled glove moonwalking Grammy-winning black, not the dark-skinned, big-nosed, self-hating black, not the Jim Crow black, segregation black, poll tax pants separate but equal black, the happy smile shuffling tap dance black, not the minstrel show burnt cork black face black, not the yes sir boss black, not the whistle at a white girl and end up a cautionary tale black. When black folks all around you done fought to gain a piece of the real estate that's been redlined and sold off and sold off and sold off for centuries. When the folks that lay claim to its legacy got that shit on layaway but don't ever get to put more than a bit of change down each month and interest rates ain't no joke cause don't nothing change. And I guess being black is like putting on a pair of snow pants to brace against the cold when you're already fully dressed. And you just love your accessories. Been sliding on kimonos and dashikis and headdresses and dreadlocks for Halloween and theme parties like characters you can switch in and out of like accents, like a downpour of a storm. Except you get to decide when it's time to come in and take shelter from the rain.
Well.
Sandbox Radio.
God by James Thurber.
Once upon a starless midnight, there was an old owl who sat on the branch of an oak tree. Two ground moles tried to slip by quietly unnoticed.
You,
said the owl.
Who?
They quavered in fear and astonishment. For they could not believe it was possible for anyone to see them in that thick darkness.
You too,
said the owl. The moles hurried away and told the other creatures of the field and forest
that the owl was the greatest and wisest of all animals.
Because he could see in the dark.
And because he could answer any question.
I'll see about that,
said a secretary bird. And she called on the owl one night again when it was still very dark.
How many claws am I holding up?
Said the secretary bird.
Two,
said the owl, and that was right.
Can you give me another expression for that is to say, or namely?
To wit,
said the owl.
Why does a lover call on his love?
To woo,
said the owl. The secretary bird hastened back to the other creatures and reported that
the owl was indeed the greatest and wisest animal in the world because he could see in the dark and because he could answer any question.
So, can he see in the daytime, too?
Asked a red fox.
Mais oui, can he see in the daytime, too?
Echoed a French poodle.
Now, it's daytime.
All of the other animals laughed loudly at this silly questions, and they set upon the red fox and the poodle and drove them out of the region. Then they sent a message to the owl asking him to be their leader. When the owl appeared among the animals, it was high noon and the sun was shining brightly. He walked very slowly, which gave him an appearance of great dignity. And he peered about him with large staring eyes, which gave him an air of tremendous importance.
He's God!
Cried a Plymouth Rock hen, and the others took up the cry. So they followed him wherever he went. When he began to bump into things, they bumped into things too. Finally, he came to a concrete highway, and he started right up the middle of it, and all the other animals followed him. Presently, a hawk, who was acting as a scout, observed a truck coming towards them at 50 miles an hour. And he reported to the secretary bird.
Oh!
And the secretary bird reported to the owl.
There is danger ahead,
said the secretary bird.
To wit,
said the owl.
Aren't you afraid?
Ooh,
said the owl, for he could not see the truck.
He's gone!
Cried all the creatures again, and they were still crying.
He's gone!
When the truck hit them and ran them all down.
Moral, you can fool too many people too much of the time.
Our presentation is a song called Albela Sajan, which is based on a raag called Ahir Bhairav, which is usually sung, which is always sung, should be sung, during the morning at dawn. And it's the mood of the song is devotional and spiritual, so enjoy.
This is Sandbox Radio. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes and Stitcher and help other people find us by taking a moment to post a review. It really does help. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter for the latest news on our upcoming live shows. Coming up in the second half of Eclipsed, the drunken tenor Robert McPherson puts his spin on the Eclipse aria from George Frederick Handel's opera Samson. But first, a new play by Brandon J. Simmons.
Ten minutes.
Has anyone seen Dazer?
No. Has anyone seen Dazer?
Mitchell, there you are. Is she running late?
How would I know?
Right. So, do you think she's going to go for this?
I never know what she's going to go for. Just remember the story. Avery is out sick, and the new understudy doesn't know her lines yet.
She's not going to like playing a maid. I mean, she is the greatest actor.
The greatest actor of her generation, yes, I know. But the producers are very clear. They have to protect their investment.
She's not going to like being called an investment.
Then don't repeat that.
The Real Bird of the City Theater by Brandon J. Simmons.
Mitchell, look, I'll go along with whatever you and the producers want, but really, she's on the brink of an extraordinary breakthrough. I mean, it's incredible when you think about it. When I was a kiddo sitting in this very audience, actors were still playing characters. And now, these psychic melding techniques, these parallel regressions, it's astonishing what some of these actors can achieve now. And she is the best of all of them, pushing the envelope every night.
Yes, I know. Shouldn't you be managing the stage or something?
5 minutes, please. 5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Five minutes!
Mitchell?
Tabitha?
Are we ready to make history? I can feel it!
So, slight change of plans. You know the maid's lines, yes?
Well, we played the show, 40 times this year already? Yes, I think so. Why?
Well, Avery's out, and this new understudy, they're going to be best in the role of the bird.
But I play the bird.
It's just for tonight.
And I'm on my way to the actual transmogrification, Mitchell. It might be tonight. Look at this.
Well, the thing is...
What?
She's an actual bird.
An actual what?
An actual nightingale. See, that's the thing. It'll just be easier putting her in the role of the bird, having you play the maid. Avery will be back to play the maid when we remount it next week.
You brought in an actual living bird to replace me with 5 minutes' notice?
It's just for tonight until Avery is back.
And what about the rest of the rep?
Nothing else is changing. You're still Dionysus, Shantae, red and colored girls, Stella, Kali, and Yelena. And we begin rehearsals with you as Clytemnestra next week. I just need you to play the maid tonight.
A scullery maid.
It's a good role.
Am I still J. Tabitha Dazer? I mean, I haven't gone off the deep end and transformed myself into a second-rate shill of a player with such a low opinion of her talents that she'll allow a scheming manager to hustle her out of the most significant stage role she has ever played, have I? I mean, have I gotten that good?
The maid is a very important role, Tabby. She has noble character. She's the one who takes the Empress to see the bird.
She leads the Empress's entourage to see the bird, Mitch. And I play the bird. The titular bird.
Please, don't call me Mitch in public.
Never call me Tabby again.
Okay.
Oh, thank God, there you are.
Here I am, behold, the great player Jamala Tabitha Dazer, prime ingenue of the City Theater, master of transformation.
Yes.
I was Hamlet.
Of course, Miss Dazer.
I died.
Yes.
39 times stabbed through the heart for real each night. Have you ever died, Mitchell?
We need you in the dressing room, Miss Dazer. Your costume is ready.
How many times did I give birth between Acts 3 and 4 of The Seagull, Mitchell? Backstage, in that mock-up of a darkened Moscow alleyway.
15 performances between the years 8748 and 8750. Your act four was astounding. You played a remarkable Nina.
I was Nina. I lost 15 babies for this theater, for these people.
You really earned that Pearly Award, Miss Dazer.
Thank you, Brian. Mitchell, you stopped running the show because you were convinced I wouldn't be able to handle it, how did you say, mentally? To have to give birth that many times? No one had ever done that before. And now Nichelle Crosby over at the Wharf has played Nina and given birth, what, 30 times? You let her steal my bit.
We don't have time for this, Tabitha.
I revolutionized the art of physical regeneration through mental focus, and yet you are preventing me
from being... Good evening, Miss Dazer.
I'll take that for you, Miss Dazer.
Curtain is up in 4 minutes, Miss Dazer. Let's get you into this maid's costume.
I begged you to keep Seagull in our repertory. You pulled it. Nina was my greatest role.
You've surpassed it.
Yes, as the nightingale. Mitchell, I know right now it's just me in a corset and a feathered leotard, but my voice is starting to change. Did you hear my song last week? It was almost a bird's voice. I'm almost there. I've almost done it. I can feel it. I am this close. Oh, and look, this morning, look. I grew it.
A feather? Holy snit, Mitchell, that's a real feather.
I know.
It was under the covers when I got up this morning. I grew it. I was dreaming. I was flying. I'm almost there. I need to go through this a couple more times, and then I think I'll be able to make the transformation. No more costume, no more pretending. The first onstage, spontaneous, physical transmogrification.
We've got to start.
If you interrupt my progress, I could lose it, Mitchell. We're on the verge of making history. What's that you're holding?
Nothing.
What is under that sheet? Lift it. Ah, it's a new little star. An actual bird. How vulgar.
If you'll step into this, Miss Dazer.
Mitch, we are the City Theater. We have the technology and the talent. Why is this bird really here?
Arms out, please.
Look, I can't explain it right now. Curtain in 2 minutes. Can we please just get ready, O Transformative One?
1 minute, please. 1 minute.
You owe me an explanation.
I know. Just not now. Trust me, please.
I will not be eclipsed by some sparrow.
1 minute, Miss Dazer.
You push yourself too hard, Tabby. It's not safe. What if you can't come back? We can't lose you. I can't lose you.
Mitch.
Look up, please.
What happens when we do Rhinoceros? Or Paradise Lost? Are you going to become Satan? Or worse, are you going to become God? Look, we just need to take stock. Slow down.
I will not slow down.
Places, Nightingale, Act One, places.
The producers need to protect their investment.
Aces, actors, Nightingale, Act One.
Investment.
I'm sorry. Look, I promise you, we can talk about this tomorrow. For tonight, please, just for tonight.
Investment.
I'm sorry. We'll talk later, I promise. Here, take your earpiece.
And your cap, Miss Dazer.
Brian will be on book for you.
Lights and sound, stand by.
What is this Nightingale I've heard so much about?
Lights go, stand by flute.
The bird lives deep in the forest. Majesty, in the black branches that extend above the green water with its white-sailed ships.
Flute, go.
The nightingale sings so beautifully that even the poor old fishermen who have so much work to do must stop and listen to its song.
Stand by, Tabitha.
And how might I hear this song?
I do not know, Majesty. I must admit, I have never heard it myself.
Enter Tabitha.
Are you on book for her?
Yep.
Who can bring it to me?
I can, Your Majesty.
You?
I am but a lowly kitchen maid, but I have heard the bird. I hear it each night while gathering herbs for my sick mother. Its song is indeed the most beautiful in all your realm.
Good. She's doing good.
She's the greatest actor of her generation.
Earn that, pearly girl.
Bring it to me?
Majesty, it would be my honor.
Orchestra, stand by.
Assemble a search party. This maid will lead it deep into the woods, and tomorrow I will welcome this bird as my personal guest.
And orchestra...
Assemble the official Imperial Nightingale-seeking entourage!
Go. Stand by, real Nightingale.
Why wait?
Wait. What?
Uh-oh.
Majesty,
Why
Dazer, wait?
Miss Dazer, your line is...
It would do me dishonor to make my empress wait. I will show you the Nightingale now.
We can wait until morning to hear this magnificent...
No.
No. Stand by, real Nightingale. Your entrance is in one page.
Are we jumping cues? What is she doing?
She's improvising.
Damn it.
We beg your pardon?
No. It is I who beg, Majesty. I am Your Majesty's most humble servant, and I have that within me which will not be denied. I have died for you, Your Majesty. I have birthed children for you, gone mad, broken my bones, and mended my own bleeding heart.
No! Tabby!
I have loved you and made love to you, done unspeakable things for and to you, served and honored you in many forms. I shed my blood for the city, for this royal audience. I am your devoted servant, and that brings me great glory, but my power will be denied no longer. For my love is as great as Your Majesty, and this body, my voice, this self is nothing. Behold, I am your Nightingale!
Tabby! No!
last night, I became a flock of birds on the eve of their descent. Last night, I was a murder of crows. Now, to be a murder of crows is to not know if you are magic or dreaming. A flask of ringtones or a canvas of teachers. A worship of poets or a cash box of planets. I did not know body or the hungering scratch for permission. I was at once a marriage of galaxies, a shining glory of mistakes, a lumbering storm of shoelaces, and a cinema of head turns. I walked like a torso of regrets, heaving a crease of love letters written in blue, flowing downstream. I chose to live as a river of ripped journal pages, a sprain of tears spilling into a spectacle of wringing hands. In the pitch, I became a dictionary of guitars, strings taut and out of tune. I had forgotten what a migration of fingertips feels like on the landscape of the skin. I had forgotten I am not the strings, but the articulation of sound when they are played, how forcefully we pour out of our bodies to be formless. How even in a foreign wrapping, our bodies break free of the stilled silence.
Damon Derrindell, everybody.
Come on flat top, he come grooving up slowly. He got juju eyeball, he won't hold it, roll up. He got a head down to his knee. Got to be Joker, he just do what coaster. Now he got an early warning that he got muddy water. He won't mold your filter. He said one and four and one is three. Gotta be good looking cause it's so hard to see. Come together right now. Oh, 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 oh.
Forest for a little girl to come along carrying a basket of food to her grandmother.
La 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 la.
Finally, a little girl did come along, and she was carrying a basket of food.
Are you carrying that basket to your grandmother?
Asked the wolf, the little girl said.
Yes.
So the wolf asked her. The wolf asked her where her grandmother lived, and the little girl told him. And he disappeared into the wood. When the little girl opened the door of her grandmother's house, she saw that there was somebody in bed with a nightcap and nightgown on.
Hello.
She had approached no nearer than 25 feet from the bed when she saw that it was not her grandmother, but the wolf.
Oh.
For even in a nightcap, a wolf does not look any more like your grandmother than the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer looks like Calvin Coolidge. So, the little girl took an automatic out of her basket and shot the wolf dead.
Moral, it is not so easy to fool little girls nowadays as it used to be.
All dark.
crime decree. Sun, moon, and stars are dark to me. Sun, moon, and stars. Sun, moon, and stars are dark to me.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, but then I see the look in your eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. Every now and then I fall apart. And I need you now tonight. And I need you now forever. And if you only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever. And we'll only be making it right. 'Cause we'll never be wrong. Together we can make it to the end of the line. Your love is like a shadow on me all of the time. There's only love in the dark. Nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart. Once upon a time there was light in my life. Now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can see, a total eclipse of the heart.
The place, Seattle, Washington. The year is 2050. 15 years ago, in the summer of 35, a small local online retailer invents time travel for the sole purpose of being able to deliver packages to their customers before the customers even order them. The technology works. But the returns process is thrown into chaos when customers, instead of returning items they don't want, simply don't order them in the first place. This creates several tears in the space-time continuum, warping whole neighborhoods and creating our fair city's most famous landmark, the Bremerton waterfront. Time travel is swiftly outlawed by the Sissy Pants Anti-Innovation City Council. And you all know the rest. When time travel is outlawed, only outlaws will travel through time. That's where I come in. I'm what they call a doc. When someone makes a temporal sidestep and screws something up, I make it all better. With my trusty quantum bop gun at my side, and the help of my young apprentice, Miss Molly Mercer, we make sure the history of Seattle stays in line and on time. The past can be a rowdy place, and besides, we'd all hate it if things turned out differently, wouldn't we?
It's time once again for Duck and Mercer's Mostly True History of Seattle. This week's episode, Mooching Totality, by Elizabeth Heffron.
Doc? Doc, wake up!
I'm coming! Yeah, what is it, Molly?
We've got to go back 33 years to the eclipse of 2017.
What? Oh, hell, not another eclipse. Come on up. Yeah, the Renton event of 49 did me in.
Psst. Hey, Doc.
I am so sick of all of those Umbrophiles.
Umbrophiles?
Yeah, those shatter chasers. Eclipse nuts with their fancy telescopes and snarky science babble.
Doc, did you hear that?
Yeah, it sounds like the space-time hubris fabric is getting ripped to shreds.
Oh, no! It's worse than I thought! Get out of your sleep sack and grab your unitard! I'll explain once we're on the transport.
I hate putting on my unitard! This outfit anyway.
The Time Travelers Movement Coalition, you know that. So we can slip through string theory like a knife through butter.
Like butter, huh?
Why are you so down, Doc? How'd your date go last night?
She just doesn't seem to get an old-fashioned guy like me, Molly. I suggested a picnic and a campfire. She wants some hologram encounter with this third individual.
Whoa.
And the minute I start explaining things to her, she just clams up and gives me the evil eye. Women are a conundrum.
A quantum bop gun armed. Hang on, Doc. Here we go. Yikes! Smells like fertilizer in here.
What is this place? Geez, it looks like we've landed in some kind of giant office terrarium. Hey, Molly, could this be...
That's right, Doc. Amazon! Notorious Jeff B. and his ageless sidekick, Alexa, have escaped from Mars house arrest.
No!
And traveled back to a time when he was the richest person on the planet for about 25 minutes.
Well, Alexa sure had the sexiest AI voice in the technosphere.
Uh-oh, there's Jeff B. Looks like the mulch is about to hit the fan.
Okay, quiet down!
Quiet down, please.
That's Notorious B.'s other AI prototype, Timmons, a soothing office presence.
He was never fully implemented because beta testing showed he got people so relaxed they'd just turn off all their devices and diddle with their navels.
Look, Jeff, what you're asking for is just not feasible. I don't see how...
Not feasible, my skinny patootie. Why should Madras, Oregon, and Carbondale, Illinois, and Nashville get all the glory?
Because they're on the path of totality and it's only 70 miles wide.
But I've paid for Seattle to get all the glory.
Jeff, we get partiality. We'll see 92% of the eclipse.
Not good enough! Seattle gets the total eclipse, or nobody gets nothing.
Let's all put our finger on our sacral pivot point.
Hey, psst, Molly, who's that quiet group by the ficus trees with the untucked shirts and the dark shades and the pocket protectors?
According to the Googleizer, they're NASA experts on eclipse relocation.
What? Hold on. Eclipse relocation? You can't move an eclipse.
Doc, remember, this is 2017 when reality could be mooched. You say anything enough times and use plenty of expletives, and bam, it becomes true.
Okay, look, Jeff, we're willing to work 80 hours a week and never use our free gym memberships and be superhuman employees, but there's no way we can do this. You're asking us to literally move the sun and the moon.
Just a tad. It wouldn't take much.
I don't see how.
We at NASA believe that Elix relocation is possible.
We believe eclipse relocation is possible. Totality. What the hell is that?
If I'm not mistaken, Molly, I think we're all hearing the tenor of our times.
The who?
That's what it is.
Timmons, fully reconstitute the tenor.
Tenor reconstituting.
Totality.
Music is the ultimate language of the universe.
We've discovered classified sonic signals that will confound the motion of the moon and the sun and recalibrate their trajectory.
Hey, Molly, they can't do that, can they?
I'm not sure, but amazing things have happened during the awesome power of total solar eclipse. Like, did you know that no one was able to prove Einstein's theory of relativity until the eclipse of 1919?
Refresh me.
Using measurements collected during a solar eclipse viewed off the coast of West Africa, Sir Arthur Eddington was the first to experimentally prove Einstein's theory. Psst, Timmons, reconstitute Sir Arthur Eddington.
As you wish.
Yes, it's obvious. You see, Einstein's theory holds that gravity is not so much a force as a spatial distortion of space-time. Thus, one could interpolate that the images of stars could shift and bend when large bodies such as the sun passed near them. Therefore, when I measure...
Thank you, Sir Arthur.
Certainly.
So, because of a solar eclipse, Doc, the theory of relativity was proven, and Einstein was propelled from the obscurity of the patent office into a scientific superstar.
Yes, it's all coming back to me. And then, of course, there's the Allais effect.
The Allais effect?
In 1954, Maurice Allais discovered that during a total eclipse, the behavior of a pendulum will change as the sun goes behind the moon. Plus, there are temperature drops and strange animal behaviors.
West Coast first contact is predicted in 2 minutes.
No time to lose. Aim the tenor towards the Oregon coast. We've got to draw the moon northward now.
Pardon me, but where's my dressing room?
There is no dressing room. You've got to sing those notes we taught you now.
But my dressing room is in my union contract.
We don't believe in unions.
60 seconds until first contact.
We'll work the dressing room deets out later, Rob. For now, just sing your ass off.
Sing, 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 sing.
Come to me, totality. Come to me, totality. Come, come be with Jeff B and the Emerald City by the sea.
Molly, Molly, quick, we gotta do something to stop this.
Okay, okay, let's see. So the sonic notes that NASA calibrated for the tenor are quite specific.
Yes.
And if he gets them wrong, they won't have an effect on the celestial bodies.
Okay.
And, the Googleizer says that in 2017 there was this radio show called Sandbox Radio Live, which occurred just a week after the actual eclipse.
I'm not sure where you're heading with this, Molly.
So we need to kidnap that radio show audience for the greater good and time warp them back 1 week and relocate them into this giant terrarium.
You know, it might work. Wait.
Timmons, reconstitute the Sandbox Radio Live audience into this office terrarium now.
Reconstituting audience. Let's all imagine a mindfulness ball above our heads, swaying gently back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Well, Molly, it looks like this is where we slip like butter back to the future.
It sure does, Doc.
I gotta say, there's no I in team. You were great today. Congratulations.
Thanks, Doc. You feeling any better about your social life?
Oh, yeah, that.
I don't know, Molly. Can an old dog learn new tricks?
Always.
I'm glad you think so.
Hey! You know?
What, Doc?
This unitard is starting to feel
sort of comfy.
Roger that.
It's really been swell.
Eric Ray Anderson.
Mariana DeFazio.
Mick Kuhlman.
K. Brian Neal.
Imogen Love.
Cole Hornaday.
Sean Jong.
Jin Hammond.
Larry Paulson.
Annette Titongi.
And Richard Simon.
And I'm your host for Sandbox Radio, Leslie Law. Please give it up once again for the artists of Brundidwani.
Dave Pascal on the bass, Dave Marriott on the trombone, and on the keys, our maestro and composer, Jose Juicy Gonzalez.
Tonight's show was written by Scott Augustin, Lisa Halpern, Elizabeth Heffron, Edgar Allan Poe, Brendan J. Simmons, and James Thurber, with original music by Jose Juicy Gonzalez and additional music by The Beatles and George Frederick Handel and Jim Steinman. Big thanks to Act Theater for hosting, especially John Langs, Alyssa Byer Montgomery, and Megan Darling, and to the amazing staff and crew here in the gorgeous Falls Theater. Our stage managers tonight were Susie Butler and Elizabeth Burton, with our production assistant show was mixed live by Max Langley back there and recorded by Brian Moynihan. So, we're bringing out our lyric cards because now's the time in the show when we always love you guys to sing along. Come on, all of you vets, sing loud and proud so the newbies are gonna chime in. I think you picked up the tune. Ready? Ready? Here we go.
It's really great.
Eclipsed was recorded in front of a live audience at Act Theater in Seattle on August 28, 2017. The episode was written by Scott Augustin, Lisa Halpern, Elizabeth Heffron, Edgar Allan Poe, Brandon J. Simmons, and James Thurber. The show was sound engineered by Max Langley, recorded by Brian Moynihan, and this podcast was mixed by Dave Pascal. Find out where you can catch more of Robert McPherson at thedrunkentenor.com. Seek out more from Pratidwani at pratidwani.com. That's PratidwaniI.com. And follow poet Damon Arundel at stumblingtowardsgrace.tumblr.com. Follow Sandbox Radio on Facebook and Twitter and find the recording archive of our past episodes at sandboxradio.org. I'm Leslie Law, and on behalf of my co-producer, Richard Ziman, and all of us here at Sandbox Radio, we hope to see you at the next live show on October 30th, and thanks for listening.